But you see, the place where they broke through, the French, they threw all the Canadian reserves the night of the 22nd. Mm-hmm. They threw all the Canadian reserves into that hole.
Yes.
And
yes,
they did hold them through the 23rd, you see.
Yes, that was it. See,
then on the 24th, there was, they threw the gas over again, this time on the Canadians. Now, were you in the sector where the gas came on the 24th?
Yes. Oh, yes. I saw them, I saw the Germans hop over the trenches and put these cans in front of their trenches.
You could literally see them doing
it. I saw them do it. Well, we were only a few hundred yards at that place, I think, I don't know. I would have said roughly about 400 yards.
I
saw these Germans, and I thought that they were, I wonder what they were doing, see? Just one here and one a little further along, and it looked like tin cans they'd put over. And the smoke and that boiled up, and it didn't rise, you know. The atmosphere kept it down, and the wind blew it towards us, see? And I said, I thought it was smoke, you know, and they were going to come up behind them, see? So we started firing at them so as to prevent them from falling up the smoke. But it was, and then when it came along towards us, it turned green, a greeny-yellow color. Chlorine gas it was. And it came up and went over the trenches like that, see? And it stayed not as high as a person all the way across. And two fellas, one on my right and one on my left, they dropped, and eventually they got them to the hospital, but they both died, one on each side of me. And they were lumberjacks from Fort Francis, and I was an office man. See? But I was a bit of an athlete in those days, and a good swimmer, and I could hold my breath. I could swim underwater for 2 minutes, which is a long time. If you ever try to put your head in a bowl of water and see if you can hold it for 2 minutes, it's a long time. But I was always a good swimmer, and as soon as I saw this gas coming, I tied a handkerchief over my nose and mouth. I thought it was smoke, you know. And that saved my life, but eventually I had to go to hospital. I got worse, you know. I got some of the gas, and I went to the medical office. I went back in the trenches. Where was it? After
Festerberg.
And I went to the doctor. I said, I don't know what's wrong with me. I said, I can't breathe. I said, just as if I had a piece of hay wire. It was in the days when we used to tie bales of hay with wire.
Yes.
And I said to him, I said, just as if somebody was tying that tighter every morning. And I said, I thought the fresh air, I'd get over it, see, but I'm getting worse instead of better. So he said, you better report to the dressing station. So I did, and then they sent me to the hospital, and then the doctor said that I'd got some of the gas into me. And it paralyzed the nerves of the bowels. That's how it affected me. I must have swallowed it down there. Because when I was in hospital, I remember telling a fellow, I said, how did the gas affect you, see? So he said, it's tied me all up in knots in the stomach, he said. So I said, well, it's affected me, something like that. I said, I don't go to the bathroom only about every fourth day. Oh, he says, you got diarrhea. He said to me, he says, I don't go only once a week. But eventually...
You stood up, did you, sir, so that you got your head above the gas cloud? Was that the general idea?
It might have been. I got less of it than some of the others did.
Because I know General, or at least various people have told me, I think General Ludlum was one, that he tried to get everybody up.
yeah.
on their feet, that the worst thing you could do was to get down.
Lay down, that was the worst thing. And one of my chaps, he collapsed, and I put him in a dugout, see. Thinking, and I said, you lay down there, see. And I thought, well, he'd probably get better, but one of the fellows come to me and he says, he's asking for water. Nobody had any water. We hadn't had any food or water, I think, for 3 days. And I don't like water, see? And I never drink water on marches or hikes or anything else. I very seldom touch it. But I did have about a wine glass full of water in my water bottle. I was the only one that had any water. They were asking others, you know. So I said, well, I got a little tiny drop. So I went and gave him a little tiny drop of water. That killed him. I told the doctor about that. Well, he said he would have died anyway. But he said it was the worst thing he could have, was a drop of water.
How did you manage to survive through that, sir? I mean, they attacked, I gather, behind this gas wave. What did you people do? How did you manage to hang on at all?
Well, those that could kept up a rapid fire at the German.
And this is when you went through 4 Ross rifles, was it?
Yeah.
The story I have is that this resistance was so unexpected that they stopped and started to dig in.
Yeah. The Germans thought that the Germans didn't realize the success of the gas attack. If they had it done, they'd have gone right through to Keller.
Yes, one of the reasons they didn't realize was the fact that there was so much fire. There was
so many of us that could still hang on and shoot. And that's what stopped them. And Curry told Lipsett to retire. But Lipsett phoned back to Curry and told him he wasn't going to retire. We could hold on.
Lipsett was your battalion commander.
Yeah. So we held on. Well, then they brought up reinforcements on the left and built up the connection between us and the left. But it was an angle. See, the line was like this, see?
Yeah.
Well, then they reinforced it and made it like that, see?
You had to bend back, in other
words. Those on the left did. We didn't. Yes. We stuck in the same trenches we were in originally. Yeah.
You stuck right in those same trenches, right through all this whole
never
business.
We didn't move. We got ordered to retire, and then the order was countermanded when Lipsett decided to hold on. See?
Well, that's really remarkable.
He said, to hell with retiring. We're not retiring. We're staying here. And we did.